the devotions or encouragement. Dennis said he likes when the Lord teaches him something. I pray every day that the Lord would teach me. Every time I open the scriptures, I pray that the Lord would teach me, show me. There's no greater teacher than the Lord. Psalm 23:5 will conclude our thoughts on this verse and then move on to verse 6 next week. But our whole point of these lessons has been that Psalm 23 ought to be our life. It should be the life that we live. It should be descriptive of the life that we live. And here in this fifth verse, we see it as a life of overflowing. And we've mentioned several things that ought to overflow in our heart. But our life ought to be a life of overflowing, a life of enjoying God. And Brother Dennis made the statement that there aren't many that enjoy God. I came to that conclusion long, 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 long time ago. There aren't many of God's people who truly enjoy the Lord. And that's really, really sad. That, we do pray that each one of us enjoy the Lord. So he says, my cup runneth over. And this is the result of everything said prior to that statement. Our heart ought to overflow with testimony. We see that our heart ought to overflow with love. We saw that a couple weeks ago. Saw last week that it ought to overflow with a desire. Love feeds desire. Desire feeds love. And flowing from this love to God, flowing from this desire for God, is a bearing witness of the Lord. And I realize that personalities are different. Some people are far more outgoing than others. I realize all of that. But that really has very little, if anything, to do with bearing testimony for the Lord. This is just a natural result of a relationship with the Lord. Even those who are introverted, those who are shy, and it's not the same thing, when they're excited about something, they can talk. And when something's important to them, they can speak. And so it is of the Lord. We as God's people are the witnesses of the Lord. We are His witnesses. In Isaiah, if we turn over there, Isaiah 43... and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. It is ye are. It's present tense. I'm going. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. in verse 12, the last part of that verse, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Witnesses of what? That I am God. "You are my witnesses that I am God." Isaiah 44, verse 8. "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses." Ye are even my witnesses. So three times in those verses we are told. Now that, of course, is speaking to Israel, but translates over to us. Ye are my witnesses. In John chapter 15, John 15, verse 27. In verse 26, he talks, he's promised them the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "He's the Spirit of truth. He proceeds from the Father, and he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit always does. He testifies of Christ. "And ye also," okay, the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. "And ye also," that is in relationship to the Spirit, "shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Notice the connection. "Ye shall bear witness because ye have been with me." That's a relationship with the Lord. The bearing witness is a result of, "Ye have been with me." The bearing witness, our witness, a witness overflowing in our heart, is the result of living Psalm 23. So we are witnesses. Now, witness is one, of course, who testifies. Testifies on the behalf of someone else, or on the behalf of something. The witness tells what they know. They don't tell what they don't know. They simply tell what they know. The more time we spend with Jesus Christ, the more we know of Him. The truth is, there are a lot of children of God that know very, 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 very little of the Lord. People say, well, they haven't been taught. Well, that's a small part of it. The larger part of it is, they have not spent time with God. They do not have a relationship with the Lord, because it's amazing what you learn through a relationship with the Lord. So it's telling what they know. It's telling what they've seen. Again, John 15, 27, "You've been with me." Saw a lot of things. Saw a lot of things. A witness tells what they've seen. A witness tells what they've heard. You spend time with the Lord, you hear a lot of things, wonderful things. The Spirit of God speaks to us. A witness tells what they have experienced. So that's what we're to do. We're to tell of Him. We're to tell what we know. It may not be much, but you tell what you know. You tell what you've seen, heard, and experienced. Every saved individual, I believe, is left here on planet Earth to be a witness. We are put as individuals. We are put in different places. We don't live in the same house. We're in different places. Throughout the day, we're in different places. Some are in several different places in a day. But it's rare on any other than when we assemble here, it's rare for us to all be in the same place. We're in various places. Why is that? To bear witness. To bear witness. We're placed amongst different people. Amongst different people. And I believe it's all to be a witness of the Lord. We are exhorted to do so. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Now, if that is so, if we are ashamed, we've got a real problem. And that problem needs to be taken care of. We're never to be ashamed of the Lord. Never. Never, ever. "Nor of me, his prisoner," Paul is saying. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." So we're not to be ashamed of the Lord. We're not to be so ashamed that we do not speak, that we do not bear witness of the Lord. And if we do not personally bear witness of the Lord, we need to ask ourselves, we need to examine, why? Why don't we? I mean, that's a question that each one must answer, and they must give an honest answer. Why don't I? 1 Peter 3, verse 15, he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." There's the key. It means to set apart God in your heart and be ready. You sanctify the Lord God in your heart, you will be ready. Always. Ready always to give an answer to every man. Doesn't matter who it is. Whether it's your boss, whether it's your school principal, doesn't matter. Does not matter. We're to be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh. People are going to ask. Because even though they don't really want to hear it, if you live a difference, they're dying to know. Why? Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh. And there's different ways that they ask. Asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. That is, we give answer with meekness and fear, not fear of man, but fear of the Lord, reverence to the Lord. Bible is full of examples of such. In Mark chapter 5, you have the demonic of Gadara. Jesus has healed him. He wants to be with Jesus. Verse 19, "Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not," did not permit it, "but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them," and tell them. Go home First of all, we all have different homes, so that gives us different audiences. We have different friends, so that gives us different audience. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish. He began to declare in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. In John chapter 1, here we have the calling or the saving of the first apostles. And in verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. So you see, they're with Jesus. They're going to see some things. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. So they spent time with the Lord. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Now he was Simon Peter's brother. He first, after he had spent the day with Jesus, findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So Andrew spent the day with Christ. The result was he went and told somebody. He went and told Peter, which was his brother. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. He lived in a different place. And he knew two men that the others didn't. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We see it started with two individuals spending the day with Christ. They told somebody. He told somebody. And that's the pattern throughout the Word of God. John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We see in John 5, verse 15, you have the impotent man healed. He's carrying his bed on the Sabbath. The Pharisee says, You're not supposed to do that. Who told you to do that? And he said, He that made me whole. Well, who was it that made you whole? He didn't know. Jesus later found him and told him who he was. And then this man went and told these individuals it was Jesus. He told what he knew. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. The church is scattered because of persecution. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went and hid. No, they went everywhere preaching the word. They went to different places. They knew different people. And they went everywhere telling what they knew. That's the pattern. The pattern is individuals speaking of Christ in their little, in their world, in their homes, in their families, amongst their friends, wherever the Lord takes them, they speak. We see the expression of such in Philippians chapter 1, verses, we won't read all the verses, but verse 12 through 18, we see Paul talking about this, talking about his prison experience. And in verse 12, he says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, being arrested and thrown into prison, have fallen out or have resulted in the furtherance of the gospel." That should always be the case. Whatever happens to us simply gives us a new opportunity, a new people perhaps, to bear witness to. And that's what Paul did when he was in that prison. Was that a circumstance he would have chosen? Of course not. But in that prison he met people he would not have met outside of the prison. Came into contact with people that he would not have come into contact with outside of the prison. And Paul realizes that if I've come into contact with these people, I am to bear witness to them. Whether it be by my life or whether it be by word, but it should be both. For the furtherance of the gospel. We need to understand this truth. We need to view the happenings of life. Let's say tonight we have to be admitted into the hospital. We do not have a private room. We're put in a room with someone else. Is that an accident? No, it's not. You're now in a room with somebody that more than likely you've never seen in your life. And you have an opportunity that I don't have. You have an opportunity that no one else has here. And that is to bear witness to that person for the furtherance of the gospel. Again, if everyone would do that, it'd be unbelievable. But people tend to keep quiet. Well, it never comes up. I'm sorry, that is not so. That is not so. You may be so blind that you don't see it when it comes up, but it comes up. You spend time with any individual. They may not come out and directly ask you, but the subject matter comes up. In discussions, the opportunity is there to say something of the Lord. When people talk about politics, there's opportunity to talk about the Lord. When people talk about how crazy the world has become, what an opportunity to talk about the Lord. When someone tells you that their aunt is sick, the opportunities are always there. God help us, because we do not see the opportunities. And let's be honest, many people don't want to see the opportunities. They would much rather say, "Well, I've known that person for 30 years. They've been my neighbor for 30 years. I've talked to them every day about just about everything, but the subject's never come up." That's a lie. That just is not so. You say, "Well, we just talk about the weather." Well, let me ask you this. Who sends the weather? God does. The subject comes up. It always does. There's always the opportunity. we all knew Dempsey Henry. I've never seen anybody who took advantage of opportunities as he. And it is a gift. There's no question. But it's something that everybody should do. And some do it better than others. No question about it. Some are more comfortable with it than others. No question about that. That's not the issue. But anybody that spends time with the Lord, you cannot help but tell others. You just can't help it. So our heart overflows with testimony. We've run out of time, but let's look at one more verse. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, he's talking about Christ, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. There's a progression here of his relationship with the Lord. It begins with hearing. It advances to seeing. And then it advances to look upon. And then it advances to our hands touching. There's a relationship. There's a progression in the relationship. Verse 2, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness. As our relationship with the Lord progresses, you cannot help but bear witness. Your heart overflows. And part of the bearing witness, and show unto you that eternal life. We bear witness, we speak, and we show. So, living the Psalm 23 life, our cup runneth over. Runs over with humility, runs over with contentment, joy, gratitude, wonder, praise, love, desire, and a testimony for God. Ours is to be a life of overflow. And the way that comes about is living what we read here in Psalm 23. God help us to do that. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. We thank you, Lord, for the relationship that we can have with you. Lord, we do pray that you would always help us, always give us the grace and the strength and whatever else it is we need to live life in this 23rd Psalm. And may it be real to us every day. Lord, we pray as we worship you today that you would get all the honor, all the glory. Those that are lost, Lord, that you'd save their souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.